Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
All right, so you're modeling.
Which is ridiculous, but yeah, it was.
And then you call yourself an accidental actor because you took a class at Atlantic Theater Company. Is that right?
Yeah. So models, it was really like, I'm not better or superior in any sort of way. It was a difficult crowd to hang with because, you know, you'd ask them questions and I shit you not, this is a real one, where I'd be like, hey, where are you from? And they're like, yes.
There's some that are smart, right?
No, there's some. No, there's definitely some.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's mostly just a function of no education because most of them start at like 13 or 14.
It's also bad because it's like, you know, yes, you're beautiful. And yes, you know, a designer looks at you and says, that is what I want, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also so objectifying. I mean,
right.
What were the worst that, like, did people say, you know, I'm sure they said shit about your body and like.
I cannot express, like, nobody spoke to me in high school unless they wanted their homework done for them.
Right, right, right.
And then even when I got to BYU, think about BYU, like that's a school where people are virgins, right? And that my nickname was Statutory. I mean, like. Or Einstein. This is like nobody, like, so I never felt like this was part of me anyway.
Right. So you
like,
felt all
my whole universe
like
was in here. Yeah. So when they were talking about, you know, like body or something, it never occurred to like, oh, that's me. Like, so even when I started SVU, I kid you not, my first day filming, they sent me to a dermatologist to have a mole cut out from under my chin because they said it looked like a chocolate chip glued up there. But it was never like, I never took it personally. It was just like, yeah, all right.
Right, right.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Like, you know, they change your hair color.
What did you do in your downtime? Were you?
Well, so that's the difference. So like instead of like sleeping with creepy old club owners, because that was pretty much everyone else's pastime.
Right.
Like, and again, not in a judgmental derogatory story. Everyone was just young and they were partying and they were out and they were with these rich old men. And I was like, I didn't have a ton of downtime because I would work so much, and I would go to every museum and every temple and every shrine and everything I could find out and read every book and try and learn every language everywhere I went. And like, I couldn't believe people who, you know, we'd be in Athens and I'm like, okay, guys, I looked it up. The Acropolis is free on Sundays. I've got the map. I'm going to walk us there. We're going to go, you know, like this is the mid 90s. Right. So no internet really. So I'm like, okay. And no one would want to go. And I'm like, how do you not want to go? I'm like, we're in the creative. I'm like, look, I've got Pericles funeral oration, all like printed out. We're going to do it on the spot in the Agora motherfuckers, you know, like nobody was into it.
Did you work with any major photographers or?
Yes. Oh yeah.
No, you're not telling me.
I was like, no, but I've done like L covers and been like Harper's, bizarre, you know, especially because I'm not. And like, that's the thing too. There are all these divisions. It's kind of like in acting room, right? So all these different groups, like there's swimsuit models and they're hand models, right? And then there are the classic fashion models. And they're always like the people that do L shows always feel superior to everyone else.
Right.
But I always think like that was my group, but mostly because I was a titless, giant, tall, really pale thing. So yes, it was just because of that. Like if I had boobs and a tan, like I could have been a swimsuit model, you know.
Right.
So like, so I was a high fashion. Yeah, I was like the high fashion type model.
You love. Well, we'll get to that. That you love civics and politics and all that stuff, and learning and neuroscience. Like you're just fucking. I love that you have this yearn to learn. Yearn to learn, baby.
But yearn to learn.
So.
And it burned. But no, so I would get bored with modeling and I would take like a semester off, you know, and I'd go back to school in the city, like anywhere I could go. Right. I was from like Borough of Manhattan Community College, just anywhere I could get in. Cause I was going crazy with these people. And also too, there was such like a disconnect. Like, you know, when you're wearing like a $200,000 outfit, you're like, I'm pretty sure this could like fund Swaziland for like a year. Anyone else? Like, no, I'm alone. Okay, cool. Peace. Yeah. Like you're just always kind of like on the fringe. And, again, unless somebody has a question about something, and then you're like, how am I, like when you're like, I'm a 19-year-old model, like in Paris or something, I'm like, how am I everybody's medical expert? I'm like, that's confusing and totally inappropriate. But I took this semester. So I was in Israel for a semester and then I was in Egypt for a semester. Thank you. And it wasn't as Indiana Jonesy as I wanted because you couldn't steal anything.
Right.
A lot less horseback riding with like guns and stuff. And like, even when I was in Egypt, I was doing Egyptology, you know, we were in Muslim friendly clothing. Right. So you're just, it's really hot. Like it was spring semester. It was like hot as fuck. Right. And I loved being over there and I loved studying this, but also too, it's always more fun to pretend to be something than what the reality is. Right. You know, this better than anyone. And so I came back and I was already with what became my husband, then ex-husband. And
yeah, he was a model too.
And he was like a Calvin Klein underwear. He was one Abercrombie kind of that. He was
but
that dude.
But he became an engineer, correct?
No, he came. See, that's the thing. The men start older. So he came with an engineering degree and a master's in math. Because they just start, you know, at like 21. Damn. Right. Not that he ever used it. I said that out loud. That was a little bit of bitterness coming out, Judy. Sorry. A little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. So, but someone gave him a pamphlet for David Mamet's, you know, Atlantic Theater Company acting school. And it had like a logo on it. So it was just sitting on the dining room table in our piece of shit studio on 14th Street. And it said, use your will, learn to act. And it was literally located on 15th Street. Like that's how lazy I was. And I was like, sweet. I'm like, I'm totally going to rock out like down the block. I'm going to see if I can get in the summer. And all you had to do was answer a lot of really difficult questions. That was how you got in. It wasn't like an audition or anything. Cause I, at this point, like as a model, like I did a gazillion commercials, like a gazillion, because apparently they couldn't find anyone that was a model that could also speak English.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was truly spectacular. So like I would have like 20 national networks running and, you know, everything from Bounty to Reach to, you know, like you name it. But I'd never acted. And so the first I got in, obviously, because they took my money. It's so funny because at the time you remember thinking like you're so special.
Right.
And then you're like, oh no, they kind of let anyone in with a checkbook. I get it now. But it's all good. And I remember the first day and we were doing these, anyone that's out there that's ever done these acting classes, the repetition, you know, like,
oh yeah,
Judy, you're wearing a pair of brown glasses. You're wearing brown glasses.
Right.
You're wearing brown glasses. You're like this. Right. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Do people get paid for this shit? Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, game on, game on. I'm like, this is what happens. Like, this is what we're, I'm like, I don't know how I somehow missed this, but I'm like, this is what I'd love to do. And then, and it is like, it always cracks me up because still to this day, anytime I'm on set, I honestly can never believe it. I can never believe it.
Yeah. So wait, so you're married. You end up getting married 7 years.
Ended up marrying him.
You get engaged.
We were together for 17 years. So we were together for 17.
But you get engaged after 2 weeks and then you're together for seven. And then you
just seven. Cause we're like in our 20s and like, right. Good, right.
Okay. So, but you had money if you had all that stuff running and everything.
Yeah, I had tons of money. Like for anyone else my age, like I was.
You were doing okay.
I was the rich friend for everyone else, which was really fun because I got to help all my friends pay for college and, you know, do shit like that. It was great. It was great.
You have a reputation of being a good friend. So how do you get on it? Like now let's talk. Do you audition for this part on SVU?
It was the weirdest thing ever. Like I couldn't. So like your modeling agency had like a regular agent, like inside of it to do the commercials. So like Ford had like a innovative artist in the Ford agency, right? Which they would book me on all the commercials and stuff like that. But I knew they had another building somewhere with legitimate agents. I knew that was a thing that existed.
Right.
And so I'm like, what do I have to do this? So I start doing, and I start literally, I instantly start booking like soap operas and stuff like this.
Right.
And so, and still I can't get like a legitimate agent to give me any kind of break. And then they're like, okay, well maybe if you do a play. So I played like Ophelia in the Women's Shakespeare Company, like off Broadway, right? Nobody came to see it. So that was, you know, like, then I'm like, well, what else? They're like, well, why don't you direct? So I directed and wrote and put up a show at Atlantic, right? Nobody fucking came to that, right? You know how they are. They're like, of course we'll be there. We're not going to be there.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. My child had diarrhea. Yeah. Like, so I'm like, if I hear that one more. So finally they sent me on one audition, one real legit audition for the show that used to exist called 100 Center Street. And it was before it was on the air.
Right.
And it was just me and Sidney Lumet. And when I got done with the audition, and I just remember feeling so, you know, these feelings where you're just like defeated as just like, I'm like, I can't. But so Sidney Lumet called a couple agents and managers and told them about me. I didn't get the job, but that's how I started actually getting legitimate auditions.
So did you audition for the
Gang
with the Pist?
So for the rapist, I did audition to be the rapist. And that was my first like real job. And here's the funniest story. You've guest starred, so you understand this. So everyone at home that doesn't guest star, if you have a guest star on a TV series, when they wrap production, when they finish production on that particular episode, everyone, the crew, the cast, everyone stops and applauds.
Applause. Right? Thank you very much. They'll say, you know, like, Diane,
oh my God,
it's a wrap for Diane.
Right, Judy Gold, amazing, everyone. Yeah, it's a wrap, right? So my first day on it, I'm on SVU as the rapist. And then, like, whatever, it took, like, 5 days to film. And then when I was done, and everyone does this. And I go home, and I'm like, Marcus, I think I fucking nailed it. I mean, like, even the crew applauded.
Happens for everyone.
And then the best part is like then when I was a series regular, like before then, and you know, on a different show, and we did that for the guest stars, I was like, oh my God, I am such a moron.
Right.
I am such a tool. I'm like, I can't believe I thought this whole time. Like I was just that amazing.
Now you came back a few years later as Casey Novak.
Yeah. And so they got rid of me.
It had nothing to do with that gang rape part, did it?
Oh no. I thought you were talking about the second time. So, no, but that's how they find. So everyone, so pretty much, so like Kelly Giddish is on now. She was a guest star as like a victim,
right?
You know, Ice-T played a different character in the Law and Order. Right. Everyone played something else. For some reason, everyone remembers mine as the homo or the, it's not the homoerotic. It's the, autoerotic asphyxia. Right. Sorry, that's but it's a little homoerotic as well. Autoerotic asphyxiation that may or may not be homoerotic to that character. So like everyone remembers that one, but it was really funny. Like I was like, oh, there's no way they're gonna hire me. And I just finished the world's coolest. It was like pilot season, and I'd done the most amazing pilot that was based on like a Philip K. Dick book and we had like a producers from the Matrix. And this is before the third Matrix came out. So we shot in Sydney and all my outfits were made by the chick that made like Trinity's. Like I felt like such a badass, right? Like it was the coolest. And when we saw the pilot, we all started laughing. My managers and I were like, wow, there is nothing like this on TV. Like they are never going to put this on. And they didn't, but it was for NBC.
Right.
And so when Stephanie March wanted to leave, they asked if I'd come in and read for it. And I can't remember who else was in the room, but it was down to three of us. It was me, someone that became a good friend for a long time, Cody DiPablo from NCIS. And they must have had a blonde in there. If I'm the redhead and she's the brunette, they had a blonde. Right. And it was one of the, I remember exactly what I was wearing. And because I was doing all these auditions and plays and stuff, I'd given up doing all my commercials. So I was broke for the first time. At like 24, I was like, I am super broke. And I'll never forget, I was leaving the place and my high heels were hurting because I'm not much of a heel girl anyway. And I took them off and I was walking barefoot down the street and back to the studio apartment in Chelsea on West 14th. And I was just like, this bum asked me, dude, I don't have a dime. I'm like, I don't even have enough for subway fare.
Right.
I'm like, but we can chat for a while. And so I sat and talked to him for a while. And then he gave me, at the time, I think it was $1.50. He gave me, the hobo gave me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I was so grateful. Don't worry. I went back and I gave him a lot more money.
I bet you did. And did you audition at Chelsea Piers where everyone used to audition?
Yes. And then there was this, that one weird office. And, and I also thought it was going to shoot there. I don't know. Like, I also didn't know that like, oh, if you get this job, it also shoots in New Jersey.
I thought that too.
Right. Yeah. It was weird.
And the big, those fucking elevators and the
way also
hallway. It's like, it was so like a warehouse. Okay.
It was.
So you get
by the way, can we do this again sometime? But can I ask you all the questions? Cause I want to know everything. Good. Cause I'm like, first of all, I feel like I'm in therapy, which always makes me feel guilty every time I'm in therapy. Cause I'm like, I don't want to talk about myself this much. Like I feel bad about it.
How did you find out? Like people don't realize when you're up for a part or you go to the network, you know, like you have to, there's so many auditions until it's like,
okay. Oh my God. And it's so stressful.
And at that time, did you have a cell phone at that time?
I think I had a pager. No, it was 2000. Yeah, no, pager. I had a cell phone. Yeah. I had a cell phone. If it was 2003, it was a cell phone.
I remember having to go back to my house or my apartment and sit there and wait. They're like, don't leave.
Yeah. And I was just like, but again, like I'm lucky. I've got that part of my brain that doesn't think about stuff.
Right.
Right. Like I was like, I thought I blew it, but I was like, I could have done better, but I'm like, whatever. Like it's over. I had my weird walk home with my bloody feet and I didn't hear anything for weeks.
Oh, it's the worst. Weeks.
So like, I was just like, oh yeah, that's obviously not going to happen. Like this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then I got the call and I was like, and it was so funny the way my contract worked. It was, they were testing me for 7 episodes first before it was the hire me for the 7 years, right? Like that, you know, that all kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
So we did all the cast photos and everything. And then they'd be like, Diane, could you please step out of the photo? You know?
Oh, I know. Right. We have to do it in case you get fired. In case you get fired.
Right. The very not subtle way of like, in case we so move on annoying. Without
like,
you.
They just treat you like.
No, it is.
It's like, I was talking about this with someone, like when you do a step and repeat, you know, when you go to an event. And that reminds me of the most humiliating times.
Of life. It's like being picked for the dodgeball team.
Right.
Like last. It's the worst. Like,
you are.
And the worst is like, Judy, like, does this happen to you? Right. They're like, what's your name again? How do you spell that? J-E. You know, you're like, no, J-U. And you're just like, so Peter Rieger, do you know who Peter Rieger is?
Of course. I love him. He's such an actor.
So, oh my God, he's the best. So he used to be on SVU all the time. And Peter Rieger said one of the greatest things ever that to me describes the industry in its totality. As much as I love it, the question is, how much of your own humiliation are you willing to participate in?
Right. Exactly.
And that is it.
It is. You're That's rejected.
It. Right.
It's all how negative. Much? And you're so waiting for the one dopamine nope. moment of you got the part. You know,
you like, got it.
I get pinned every fucking time. And it's like, don't tell me I'm pinned.
Don't tell me I'm pinned. Don't tell me.
Oh, they went in another direction.
Of course they did. Yeah.
You know, the producers.
By the way, does this do you? Like, it hurts my feelings if they pick someone that looks just like me. Cause I'm like, right. wow, did I just yeah. stink it up that much?
Right.
Like if they go for like, you know, like a small petite, like Asian woman, I'm like, okay, right. fine. Like they right. actually went in a different direction.
Right.
It's a big deal. Like who cares? But if it's someone like if I was up for a part and you got cast, and it wasn't, let's just say, because you're funnier than I am. So if it wasn't like a comedy part, right? I'd be like, yeah. what the fuck? And right. I'm like, we look the same.
Right.
Like, did I just suck that much? You know, like.
It's just, and the way they, it's so high school. You know, that's the thing. Show business fucking high school.
Have you been to the Emmys?
Yes. I went to the daytime. I went to the Emmys. Yeah.
So and wait,
the
Golden Globes. Do you remember, yeah. like, I remember being there for the first time and it was like being back in the high school auditorium again. It destroyed my mind. People would clap more for their friends and people would like withhold. I'm like, what are you fucking 12?
What about the in memoriam? I fucking hate that. When they clap like, oh, he was more famous.
He was great. And other people are like,
he's dead, but he did.
And then other people, they're like, hands off. Like, right. I'm not clapping.
It's like, oh, he was only a producer and wrote 8,000 million episodes.
Oh, who cares?
Yeah. Oh, he created
no talent.
Show.
Yeah. No, it's
fuck
like,
you.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Fuck you.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast, that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay, I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
You get this part. Do you realize, oh my God? Like, is there any point where you're like,
well, because like, do you know, at this point too, this is going to sound super stupid. I can't believe I'm saying this. I should probably not say this, but like, I'd already been on magazine covers and, you know,
like you're jaded.
And No, I just didn't take any of it seriously. Like amazing and exciting and fun. Like I love all of it, but none of it's real. Do you know what I mean? So like, to me, it has no.
You ever pinch yourself like, I'm so happy I'm like you, because you know.
No, every day. Like, that's what I mean. Like, so okay. The actual work is always like, or there'll be these times, you know, doing a charity thing or this, that. I'm like, it's just like me standing there with like Jennifer Aniston and Demi right. Moore and like Naomi Watts. And we're all doing like vocal warm-ups. And I'm like, right. What the fuck? Like, how did I even get here? Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, this is crazy. Yeah. This is crazy. But like, I feel like that. Like, even like on NCIS, they'll be like, okay, Diane, this is, you're going to jump out of this chopper and you're going to onto this boat and then onto this next boat on the next boat. And then you're going to beat the crap out of this dude with a gun. And I'm like, oh my God, please. And thank you. How am I getting, like, I can never believe it. But I also know like the other part of it, right. Just because you're identifiable, like you could be picked out of a lineup, doesn't make you special.
Right.
Like, so I don't feel like.
But you also realize, oh my God, I got to play this character for so long. I had an income.
It was great. It was like the greatest. And like, seriously, like for like a good like Jewish kid and a good Jewish Mormon kid to have like a steady income, like I took a huge pay cut to be on SVU.
Right.
But it was already on the air. It was one of those. Like, it was already on the air. It was one of those things where they're like, okay, it's shot in the city that I love to live. Like, I don't like LA. It's not my jam
right.
at all.
Yeah, I can't sit in the car all fucking.
I can't do it. There's nothing about it. I've like almost pissed in so many weird objects in a car because like there's no way with the track.
Yeah, I know.
I can't. And so it was all good things. And I knew I was like going into the zeitgeist. Does that make sense? So I was totally aware of that. And I was so excited that I got to be part of something that was, you know, huge. But I never felt like any. Just because I got to be part of this kind of glorious machine didn't make me feel like, oh, I'm super special now. I was just right. like, I'm the same old moron and this is a badass, but let's enjoy the ride.
But that's so great. You don't believe the bullshit. Now, did you know?
It's helped a lot on the way down.
Yeah. Right. You're not kidding.
Hey.
But did you know when something would happen in the news, like that they were going to do an SVU, or did you ever suggest, oh, I read this. Are we going to do an episode?
You kind of knew that anything. And the thing that blew my mind, because we would do these read-throughs and they would give me, because I'm like, you know what? I watch a lot of Family Guy, right? Like, I'm like a huge, I love Adam Sandler movie. Like I made like this new person I was dating watch MacGruber the other night. I know every word and like Spaceball, like that's the kind of crap I like, right? It's not like, I like crap.
I sort of have 15-year-old boy sense of humor.
Too. Oh, completely. Yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah. If there's like a fart involved or somebody falling, please. I'm like,
you know, you know how they did. Everyone on Instagram was doing like, you know.
Oh, with Rudy? With Rudy?
No, they
with
Rudy did Patty and his farts? On Maddie. Or,
oh my God.
They were doing, you know, that or like Beth on Seth. And Seth, yes. You know? So last night I was like, oh. So last night I got a poop emoji and I did Judy on Judy. And I just thought it was the funniest.
Like, oh my God. It's the, so in Ireland, Judy's like a real last name, right? So the husband had a friend whose name was Danny Judy, and Danny Judy ended up marrying one of Marcus's sister's buddies, who was a proctologist. I kid you not.
Oh God.
But we got her a present that said, your vagina smells like duty as a present for her wedding. I mean, like, by the way, they were the most uppity yacht club people ever. Right. Like the whole, like, and I was like, hey.
I love shit like that.
It just, oh my God.
Like, everyone takes themselves so fucking
seriously. So seriously. It's so like, seriously.
Patty LuPone is not going to fucking retweet you. So
no.
You
know, and by the way, but like Giuliani farting this, like was, oh, I watched.
And
I watched.
He is a fucking disaster. He's a fucking tear duct and the farting and the eye punching and like
anyone. Oh my God, he is so it is so brutal. But that like, you know, I was everything. I was like, I'm gonna watch everybody's take on this from every angle because I'm like, it's amazing. And the best part is the chick, like if someone farts near me, I don't know how any of these people hold it. I wouldn't care if I was like testifying in Congress. I'd be like, oh my God, who farted? Right.
Right.
These people are like,
but you know what I do? I don't care where I am. If I'm about to fart, I'll say I'm going to fart. Or if I did fart,
fair warning.
I know it smells. I go, I just farted. Sorry. You know, like I just do it because,
like, you know. Oh, no, you're right. Or like, hey, heads up, roll down the window because I'm about to lay one down. And it's a stinker. It's a stinker. So, it's coming out like asparagus. Like it was just, Like, that's, I find the worst fart. It's not just the worst pee, but everyone talks about the asparagus fart, which is its own nightmare.
The asparagus pee is all right.
Gross.
So you're on the show for many years. And did you know that you were going to stop being on the show?
I did not know. I was the last person to know that I was not going to be on the show anymore.
So
I know. I read about it while sitting in the makeup chair at work in the tabloids that I was leaving to go do comedy. And I was like, news to me. Hello. Huh? Anyone?
So did you, was it one of those heart in the throat kind of go?
Oh, it was awful. And then I had to keep going to work for like 2 months and pretend everything was normal and have
did
other cats.
Did you say anything? Like, why didn't
Oh, of course. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I gave you my 20s, motherfuckers. It's your show. You can do whatever you want with your show.
But tell me.
Have the fucking decency to pick up the phone and tell me. Have the decency. Don't like make me read about it and then have to, I'm like pieces of shit.
It's like,
because I came from like normal world, right? Like I always felt like very normal. I'm like, look, this doesn't, when I finally talked to the head honcho, I was like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like, I'm your cheapest cast member. I'm the one that works the most next to number one and number two. I'm the only one with my own set. So I'm the only one that could give anyone a day off. I'm the only one that knows my lines inside and out and everyone else's lines. So I can fill in for the people that don't show up for work because they're irresponsible. And I'm like, you guys spend less money on me per week than you do on coffee. So to me, this seems like a really stupid decision. And one day I'll tell you in private what I heard back about that. Oh, you will enjoy it. But I was like,
so were you devastated?
I was devastated. I was absolutely heartbroken. I'm just heartbroken. And then the worst part, oh my God, it might actually make me cry thinking about it. And then I'd have to be out on the street and all these people would be like, why would you leave? Why would you leave? And I'm like, I would, you know, and I can't tell any of them.
Right.
I can't say a thing about it. I'm like, I guess I'm just a fucking moron. That's why, you know.
It's so people don't realize, the shit you carry around when it's like.
No.
And people say the stupidest things. Like, how come you know, like people be like years ago, how come you're not on Saturday Night Live? I don't know.
Oh my God.
It's not an application.
Right. It's like odd, isn't it? I find it odd too.
Why don't you get on blank? Okay. Let me call them.
Why aren't you on this show? You know, you're just like, this is not how it functions. And even like on Twitter and stuff, it drives me nuts because I try and explain, I'm like, that's not really how it works.
Right.
I had to suck it up.
Reinvent yourself. You have to reinvent yourself.
Well, I was like, and so eventually ended up having to go to LA, but I just did a gazillion like guest starring spots. And there was part of me that just, I was still like heartbroken. I know it sounds stupid.
But then you ended up going back again, right?
Well, yeah. So after a year and a half, and I think they've been through, I don't even know, I think 13 DAs, the writers had an insurrection. Was what I was told is the writers had an insurrection and they're like, we need Diane back because no one can say the words. So please, can we have Diane back? And so they brought me back for a couple of episodes and I would have stayed longer, but they had no interest. You know, they just moved on. So
were they nice to you when you went back?
Oh, not at all. They wouldn't even pay for my parking at Chelsea Piers. I shit you not. Like, so nasty. Like, and I was like, why even ask me to come back? You know, like, what was the point of that? And then
you walk down the street and everyone's calling you, you know.
Yeah. And you're just like, there's no need. Yeah. So, but it is that, again, like Peter Riegert, I heard Peter Riegert said that with Thank You when I was like 24, maybe 25. And it has been ringing in my ears. How much of your own humiliation? And the truth is like, I'm prepared to participate a lot in my own humiliation.
Right.
Quite a bit. Right. But the good thing is like I kind of have no shame. So that helps. Like it's deep how far I can go before I'm really bothered. But it was more like SVU was my college. Does that make sense? Like those.
I say that about.
Oh my God. About
going to the comedy clubs and.
Oh my God. Starting up stand up.
And doing it, sitting there till 2-3 a.m. at Catch Rising Star. Like that was my graduate school.
And where was your home club? Like where was your favorite club?
Catch Rising Star was my home club.
Home club.
Catch and Comic Strip. I used to go back and
forth comics.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
Back and forth. I probably told this a million times on the show, but because there were no cell phones,
right.
They had a backup. They had someone who would sit at the bar at Catch Rising Star on the weekends in case no one, someone didn't show up because you couldn't call and say, I'm
right. Or, right.
You know, and I was the backup and no way. The other backup was Chris Rock and he got on one night and just fucking killed. But killed yeah, him. I was.
That's a good lineup, man.
We would just wait to see if someone didn't show up.
Yeah, hoping.
Right.
For your, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, or whatever you could get.
It's like sitting on the bench all fucking for a whole game, and then like, all right, get up.
Is there any education like that, though? Like, that was it. That was your school.
I watched everything. Right. You know, even when in the days where you would just hang out, you just had to go and be there, and that you had to show, I am fucking dedicated. Like, it's nothing like this anymore.
No, it's nothing like that.
4 hours standing there, 2 o'clock in the morning,
signing up on the list, signing in that little list. Yeah, all that craziness.
Calling, you'd call in and leave a message with all your availabilities, and then on Tuesdays you'd wait at home afternoon to see if you got one fucking. You sit by
right one thing.
You're on it Wednesday at night, and you're like, okay, but it was exciting.
It was so exciting. What was like? So like being left out of like being. Let go from SVU for what was no good reason, right? Like it was just because whatever, some network exec or whoever wanted to, it was like being, it would be like, if they're like, you know what, Judy, don't come back to the comic strip. Okay. Don't ever. You good?
I remember I was doing warm up. I used to do warm up for all these
shows.
And I remember this show, Women Aloud. It was with Mo Gaffney and I was the warm up and I loved it because when I realized after a year of doing stand-up
that it was your thing.
Yeah, but I started emceeing a lot because everyone's like, you're so funny off the cuff. And I said, I want to emcee because I'd get more stage time and all my bits would be isolated in between the other comics.
So huge laughs. Yeah.
You had to make them powerful. Plus I learned how to bring an audience back after a bad, whatever. It taught me everything. So I became a warm-up. This is in the 80s. Or early 90s. And I remember the audience loved me. And so sometimes they would like go to a commercial. They'd be like, bring back Judy. And which I was like, oh, they love me. And I remember walking in and one of the executive producers was like, you know, the happiest part of my day is when I see you walking in, because I know everyone's going to have fun. And then so we did one season and then I remember I was in Vegas and my mother was with me and we were sitting in.
Oh no.
And I get a call or I was like, hi, it's me. I just was, and they were like, listen, we're going to get someone else because you do the same jokes for each audience. It's like, they're different. That's what every fucking.
Right. That's what every, by the way, that's also what every comedian does. Like,
right. But it's like, I had my thing. Like, they're not the same people.
It's not the same people. So it was a totally made up BS reason.
Right. And I,
because some other comedians were jealous of you.
And I think it was because I was
good,
better than, and it's been my career. Like I've been told, we're not gonna. And I remember comics when I would do like a VH1 show, be like, I don't want to follow her. And I was like, oh,
it's like such a bum. You know what?
But this is the way it drives me. They would put me in stars.
Yeah.
And I was like, Judy, and they would put me aside. And it's like, that has been.
I hate that. Because you know what? Like, this is the thing. People that love what they do and love their job, like whatever scene I'm in or anything like that, I want everyone to be their best. And if they're better than I am, right. Who gives a shit? And same also, with stand-up.
If you're I can't funnier, do it, I'm happy like, to give you the job.
Like, right. You're funnier like than that. I am. That's okay. I don't have to be the funniest person in the world. It's a different thing. It's a different style. It's a different buzz. Like this whole idea of like, I always would tell like, anytime I'm talking to kids, I'm like, there really is no such thing as competition. It's just you with yourself. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And we're all different. So even if there was someone, I joke about us looking alike, but if someone did, there's nothing, the amount of life experience and this and that, we're never going to do the same thing.
It's also, and when we talk about humiliation, it's like, when I think back and I'm thinking, oh, I did something wrong. Like I was so young that I was like, oh, okay. I can't.
Oh my God. I think of the shit like now at this age, like in my 40s, the amount of times I'd be like, hey, guess what? Totally fuck yourself. The answer is no. Right. I will take you down.
But it takes
this age. And at this age, then we don't have the people coming after us like they did when we were young and hot.
Right. But it's also like, I can't believe I fucking beat myself up when they were just fucking lying to me.
Yeah.
And I was okay.
Really good at your job. You did make everybody laugh.
Right.
But that was probably hard. It was probably those are the most heartbreaking ones. The ones where you're like, it feels like home and family.
And I believe these people who are like, so great. I love having you here. And now the minute someone is like effusive to me, I'm like, I'm done. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I got fired. I'm like calling out my agent. Like they just told me I'm the greatest thing they ever saw. So
you know, like something's horribly awry. Yeah. They think I'm a piece of shit. Like, yeah, no.
Hey everyone, you know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra, that has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
You're known as this character, but you've done a lot of other things. You were unfortunately in a bad accident by a drunk fucking asshole, and you.
It's true. It happens.
You cracked your spine.
Fractured spine in lots of places.
And do you still deal with that pain?
Yeah, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And then, because of your love of politics and civics.
Yeah, I did the dumbest thing ever.
You ran for New York's 19th Congressional District, 2018.
That's correct.
As an independent.
Yeah.
Now, you did this because, as all of us know, the 2016 election changed a lot of us. But I...
Yeah, it was like getting punched in the sternum.
Oh,
you know?
Please. Yeah. And I remember, you know, I say there's one good thing about... One, this is the only good thing about those 4 years is that
it got people civically engaged, right?
And exactly right. People are like, wait, how can he do that? And they learned he can't, you know.
Yep.
And I look at my son at 19, the younger one,
who's hot on the basketball,
but is so politically aware,
engaged.
Pissed off,
yep.
Calls me and I didn't call my parents and talk about
it. Dude, rage is a useful tool.
Yeah.
Rage is a useful tool sometimes.
So, and especially being a basketball, you know, he's like this white Jewish kid on a, and he's been in, you know, basketball leagues as the only white Jewish kid.
Good for him.
And he
represent,
but he's so involved in the culture and BLM and all that stuff.
Right.
You know? And it's so
No, I think that is the ultimate win. And then if we can add that with because I was a huge proponent of like civics education, because a lot of people just don't know stuff. So the district at New York 19, the majority of voting bloc, right, the largest percentage are actually non-affiliated voters, right? No party affiliation. And so there's like 30% Democratic, 30% Republican, and then 40% no party affiliation.
That's the way the Supreme Court should be, by the way.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's so many things we could change.
Yeah.
But so I'm sitting there and I'm with my broken back and I'm up in like the mountain house, right? So, and I've been going to school at this point when I ran, it was 9 years at that point.
And you're at Harvard Extension, right?
Right. So just going to Harvard while like doing all this other stuff and working and then broken back. And so I'm like, oh, if you're just going to physical therapy all the time. So I lived up there full time way before I ever thought about running. And you could just see the problems that were happening. There was no, absolutely no like internet connectivity anywhere. I don't know how these kids did their homework. I don't know how people went to school. People couldn't start a business from home. There were no opportunities. There were tons of people taking advantage of things up there. And then lots of stupid factionalism, right? Because the factionalism doesn't help anybody. But you've got like, the city people that come up for their weekend houses, they're all pissed off at the locals and the locals who hate them. And it's like, right. You know what, you idiots? Like, we don't survive without one another. You know what, New York City, you don't get the water without us. And like, you know, we don't get our taxes and roads and everything paid for without them. Like, this is the way it works. Like, this needs to be a symbiotic relationship. So dropping the D, because I'd been such like a progressive activist for such a long time, was kind of one of the hardest choices I ever made. And then it became so simple because they came after me so hard.
Right.
They came after me in ways. So like, you know, the famous lawyer for the Clinton, Mark Elias, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I was sued by Mark Elias and Bob Harding at the same time. Bob Harding is the GOP one and Hank Greenberg, who's the head of the New York State Bar.
Right.
So like taking it was on effing believable. Like it was a lot of threats. It was a lot of people actually trying to bribe me. It was insane. It was the craziest experience of my life. And I'm talking craziest experience of my life. And I've been dressed like Yasser Arafat, like on the back of a camel in the Libyan desert. Right. Like, I've been in countries where people are being burned in tires next to me. They're like, you deserved it. You know, like I've been in like crazy situations.
Right. Right.
You know, running for Congress, and this was the craziest mofo thing I have ever experienced. And you think you and I obviously are not that narcissistic, right? We don't care. Like you wear a bra, not wear a bra. I don't really care. Right. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not the thing that I'm most obsessed with in on the earth. That is faux show.
Right.
But everyone in our industry tends to be quite narcissistic. Nope, nothing compared to the people in politics.
Oh, beyond.
I have never.
So much power.
It is like sociopathy on steroids. And like, it was crazy. So I was in with all the, like, I'd go to a forum with like all the progressive candidates, right? Because they would include me. And there were seven Democrats that were running and me. And the thing is like, had I thought any one of them could win or beat the incumbent Republican, I wouldn't have run, right? Like, obviously not. But anyway, so we go, these people would show up. So we'd be at like SUNY New Paltz in the auditorium with like eight people in the audience.
Right.
And the candidates would all come with bodyguards and shit. And I'm like, really, motherfuckers? And I'm like, I'm sorry. It drives me in. Because they all travel with these entourages and like, I'm so special. And I'm like, really? I'm the one that people actually want to wear my skin and try and kill. You know what I mean? Like, that's on TV 24 hours a day.
It's so funny because when I do a TV show or something and they're like, do you have any guests coming? I'm like, no.
No, it's like a job.
When I was producing, like people would come with like, this is my publicist, this is my agent. Like,
I know.
Why do you even want to go?
I know. People, this probably happens to you too. People are always blown away. Like if someone tries to get a hold of me and I call them back personally, they're like, oh my, what? I just thought I'd be talking to you. And I don't have people.
Emails, like it's so much easier.
I don't have people. Like, it's fine. At least this way, I'm like, I know what's happening. Communication is clear.
And I always have said if I'm doing like a late night show or something and my agent or my manager will be like, do you want me to come? I'm like, no, why?
Like, unless you want to come, like if you like the musical guest or something, right?
Another job. Yeah.
Right. Like if that's when it's fun to bring someone like, oh yeah. Cause I like whoever's coming on after you.
Right.
Like, sweet. You want to meet Bono? Yeah. Come to the show. Right. But like, not for me. I don't need, I never understood that.
So actor,
idiot, congressional candidate.
No, congressional candidate, model.
Dude.
Nerd.
Total nerd. Star Wars nerd.
Star Wars. Just learned. You're just a, like, you're really a fascinating person.
I'm a hobo. I'm an itinerant hobo.
And I want to kind of hang out with you. And I just know that you
we're going to hang out, by the way, because we've got, we could just tell everyone we're sisters. No one would know.
True.
Seriously.
But we also have, you know, I know that you take in stray people and that you're,
well, since my place blew up with the pipe, I mean, I'm homeless. Like, it's crazy. Right. And like, it's the weirdest time to be homeless. Cause I'm like, ah, damn. It's going to be months and months before it's fixed. I mean,
are you in a good hotel?
No, not yet. I just had to find somewhere that night. So I'm like, and you know, I'm dealing with, so even today I was meeting with like three different insurance adjusters. Cause you know, everyone tries to pass the buck, you know, it's like one of those kind of things. And it's, everyone's got to know and everyone's, so basically in the detritus of my life, it's just people trampling through it that I have to meet and explain everything to again, and then go over it. And then try and figure out like, oh my God, where am I going to live? And then I've also been exposed to so many people, from the plumbers to the super, like, that normal, that is not the way I operate. Cause like people in my life, a lot of them are compromised, you know, immunocompromised. Like, I am not going to put anyone's life in jeopardy.
Right. Of course. I have two last questions for you that I asked.
Yeah. Anything you want.
And then we have to hang out at some point.
Okay. Oh my God. Literally anytime.
After COVID. Okay. Number one.
Yes.
We are very pro mental health on the show. I have suffered from, you know, I have ADD and I have had clinical depression.
Do you? So. Can you tell? Is that another thing we have in common?
What? Oh,
but I have ADHD. So
yeah, same.
By the way, gift of the gods though.
It is a gift of the gods, but as Elisa says, she's like, I'm reading a book, what it's like to be in a relationship with, I'm like, oh my God.
You know what? You don't need to read the book because you are in a relationship with someone. Why don't you just, based on empirical evidence, right here.
And also it's like, I know. And you know, the thing about my ADHD is I was diagnosed as an adult. And for so many years, I beat myself up not knowing what the fuck was wrong. I'm thinking oh my God, I'm not normal. And now, you know, the kids, I've said to my kids, I'm sorry. They're like, why are you late? Why are you camping? And then why are you this? Why are you that? I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm having like, it's my ADHD.
Yeah.
So I just tell them.
You just say it. No, you have to. Like, I was really, because I didn't start, because, you know, before the car accident, I was like a crazy person. Like I ran around, I could work 18 hours a day. One of the funniest I've ever seen, because I used to do this charity thing called the 24-hour plays, which is how I met Laura.
Yes.
And so it was really funny. So one year I was with Gloria Estefan and she just looks at me and she's like, you know, sweetheart, it's okay if you keep taking your medication into adulthood. I was like, Gloria Estefan calling out my ADHD, which was awesome. But then she taught me how to conga. But like, I was like, no, Gloria, I didn't take it today so I could stay awake for 24 hours and have all the energy in the world. I'm like, don't worry. I'm fully medicated normally.
She's like,
oh, thank God.
So what do you take? Do you do therapy? What do you do?
So I didn't take anything until I couldn't move after the car accident.
Right.
Because then my brain was just trapped in a body that wasn't moving, which was a nightmare. So then I got on Adderall. And I don't know if it does this to you, but Adderall puts me to sleep. So I get up and take it at like 4 a.m. I won't take the extended release because I like the way I am. And I like it most of the time. And I'm lucky that I don't have children to annoy, right? Like there are less people in my immediate vicinity that are like, shut the fuck up, right?
But I'm on Ritalin. Extended relief.
See, I don't like the extended. Does it make you just like droopy all day? Or do you have, obviously it works for you.
I'm like, rrr!
Oh my God.
I'm up till 3 or 4 a.m.
That's nuts. I take my Adderall to put me to sleep. That's when I get my deepest sleep and then I can wake up and then I can think. It makes no sense.
I know.
It makes no sense, but.
Therapy? Do you do therapy?
I have an MD and a psychotherapist.
I do too. I have a psychologist and
I got to tell you, like the last couple of years have been so incredibly difficult for so many different reasons that I have needed every one of them. I've relied on them and I will never, ever, 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 ever judge anyone. Not that I was even conscious of it, but like my profound understanding and empathy for like depression now.
Absolutely. Yep.
So when I meet people or like I have God kids or people I care about, and when I realize I'm like, how have you dealt with this for 40 years or, you know, 25, you know, whatever it is. And I'm like, I'm in awe of them.
It's so, yeah, you gotta, I've done CBT therapy and regular and
yeah.
I just opened my toolbox. I'm like, okay.
Right.
And I know who to reach out to. And I also know, you know, it's not like I've realized now, got to just make it, just get to tonight.
Right. It's not a straight and it's not linear. Like, right. So like then other things happen and then other stuff comes back. Like right now I've been dealing with like a lot of like serious like trauma, right. And it's weird because it comes out in ways that are so kind of even antithetical to how I am as a person.
Right.
That you're like, you're almost astral projecting going like, what are you doing, bitch? Right. You know, like, and you're like, I can't really control it. I don't know what's happening. So I've been like hyper aware, but it's been really, I mean like, but this is the bane of my life. Right. So I just moved into this new place. I've been stalked a bunch recently. So I've had to move a lot of times to not get hurt. And me living in my version of hell is living in chaos.
Right.
And it has been just years of chaos and insanity. So trying to find a way to like, just like not, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear
you. I explain this to other people too. I'm like, just because sometimes you want to die doesn't mean you want to commit suicide.
Right.
You're just saying like,
I can't handle something.
I just want to die. I need this part to end. I need a break from it. I need like a vacation to Hawaii from the stress, you know, whatever it is, right? A mental. And that's what the mental is. I try and stay on it. And now I have a lot more understanding for it and a lot more admiration for anyone that's been dealing with it their whole life. Like God, it's mind blowing. Have you?
All my life. But I didn't realize until I had a really bad clinical depression in 2010 where I couldn't even talk.
Oh my God.
And I realized I have diurnal depression. So do you?
Yeah.
So at night I'm like, yay, which is why I'm probably.
You're great at comedy and you like being in the clubs and you can be good to go.
And I realized after I had this depression and then the sun would go down and everything would lift that I have felt like that my entire fucking life.
Wow.
I remember being a kid and being like, whoo, like a sigh of relief once nighttime.
Yeah.
All right, here's our second question. The podcast is called Kill Me Now because I get aggravated about everything. So I need to know what pisses you off more than, and like,
oh my
fucking crazy.
Okay. I didn't want to prepare anything because I didn't want to prepare anything because there are a lot of things that piss me off. The things that piss me off the most are like people that have fake charities. That pisses me off. Like Trump Foundation. But you know what? It happens on both sides of the aisle. It happens in all people. It happens in a lot of celebrities. Right. Drives me effing nuts. And they all go out there and like, look at me. And it's really just a way to fund their friends and family. And I'm like, oh my God, I hate you. I hate you so much.
Right.
I also like the thing that drives me even more nuts. People who don't tip.
Oh, that's
the worst.
Wait,
so much worse than that. The people that don't tip and then give you a long explanation as why they don't tip. Like it matters in some fucking fashion. And I'm like, you know what? Shut the hell up. You obviously have never had a real job. So just shut up. Right. No explanation. Like, well, I don't think so. And I don't think this and well, this and this. And if I only give them that, you know, you're like, shut up. Probably my least favorite thing, because my favorite thing in the world, and probably like you, is like laughter. It is my favorite thing. I love hearing children laugh. I love when old people laugh. I love it when people laugh till they fart.
Right.
I love it. It's such a pet peeve. And I would find this with LA audiences a lot, like doing stand-up. They don't laugh. They just say like, oh, that was funny.
Oh,
you know, they don't laugh.
I know.
And I'm like, fucking laugh.
Let go.
Let it. You feel that thing?
You're not so cool.
You're not cool. And then it does one step even worse. And this is the ultimate like LA where they have to look at their friend for approval first. Like, did you think it was funny? And then they say, that was funny. And I'm like,
no, but here's the thing. Like I've noticed because you know, my book, yes, I can't say that when they come.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So my book.
Will you sign a copy? Thank you.
So I've realized now since this whole PC thing we're on.
Right.
That a lot of audiences, and you know, I am very, I do not hold back, and I just
I'm a big believer, like the PC is like it's really it's out of control.
So
because then you can't do nothing's funny anymore.
Right. So I now have realized with audiences, I'll do something and their initial response is like hysterical. They'll now laugh.
They're,
like
their natural inclination is to laugh their brains out and then they suck it back.
But then they go, oh, sorry. Yeah. They go, ooh. And it's like, no, you were stop.
Right. Don't puss out.
Yes.
Don't put, look, I'm not pussing out telling the joke. Right. You don't puss out from just laughing.
Right.
It's just a laugh.
If you talk about
man up, man up and laugh.
Right. It doesn't make that event worse.
No.
It's a coping mechanism.
No.
You fucking asshole.
It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Things are funny. Shit, bad shit is funny. Like it's really funny.
Yeah. All right.
And it has to be, otherwise you'd lose your mind.
Exactly. Now, Diane, I love you. You're fucking, thank you for doing my podcast.
Any you kidding?
Any
thank
relationship
you.
To Patricia Neal?
Not that I know of. And I'm sure mom, I'm sure genealogist mom would have figured that out at some point.
Also, where tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, I'm barely on again because, you know, I'm being stalked. So yeah, I try to stay. I try and make it pretty. Everyone's like, why aren't you on more? And I'm like, because I don't want anyone to know.
Try to hide.
It's pretty tough, but it's just at Diane Neal. I'm very easy. So it's like at Diane Neal on everything. And also my parents gave me the two simplest names, but they can both be spelled 50 different ways.
Right.
So it's actually just D-I-A-N-E. N-E-A-L. Yeah. So, but both of those could be spelled like 100 ways. Yeah. What about you? Where can everyone find you, Judy?
Oh, please. They know. At Judy Gold. J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D. Because I'm a Jew.
And it's clever. Ding, ding.
That's right. I can't thank you enough. I hope one day we get to work together. And
can we do this again where I can ask you a zillion questions about you?
Yes.
I would love that.
Laura the producer has said.
Yeah, Laura's amazing.
You need to do an episode of just like you talking and someone, you know, and I.
You would, that's amazing. Can we do that? And I'll just prompt you occasionally. I'll be quiet.
All right.
Because I would love, I'd love to hear your stories because I know you've got a gazillion.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and only Diane Neal. How great is she? Please subscribe. Please leave 5 stars. Please do that because I want as many reviews and 5-star reviews as other podcasts, and I don't have them. Okay? If you haven't purchased my book, yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, you're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. You're in trouble. Okay? Because it's ridiculous. You listen to my podcast, buy my book, read it, listen to it, shove it up your ass. No, it would really mean a lot to me if you would check it out. The links are all on the homepage of judygold.com or wherever books are sold. I am doing a virtual Zoom show at Nowhere Comedy Club on Thursday, January 21st. And I will have a lot to say because Wednesday, January 20th, as you know, we'll have a new president. So I have a lot of virtual stuff coming up. So check that out. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D, you know, like because I'm Jewish. Yeah, I just can't believe this shit show is going to finally be over. So thank you so much for listening. I love all of you. Wear a mask. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.